Welcome back to the show on a spectacular week weather-wise. Gosh, this is the kind of weather we love to see in November. It's actually going to be fairly warm this week, 13, 14 degrees in parts of the province with lots of sunshine. So weather taking us into November in a nice way, that's for sure. Lots, and for people that are headed to Winnipeg to watch the Grey Cup game, it's rare. I mean, how many times would you say of all the places in Canada you wouldn't want to be to watch a cold Grey Cup game would be Winnipeg? But this year, you're going to get away lucky because the weather's looking pretty nice for game day. Well, we have been following this story along. Of course, our own Lisa Schick, senior reporter from our CJME newsroom in Regina, has been there every step of the way. 3 weeks of testimony. Today, the jury will start deliberation, likely later this afternoon, in the Misha Pavlik murder trial. This is a case that has been unfolding for two decades, 19 years, actually. The 19-year-old fatally stabbed at a grad party. Now, the accused, who was a teenager at the time, charged in 2023. The RCMP basically revived their investigation. They had some renewed public attention to it. Some new information came to light. So now, as a result of those charges over the last couple of weeks, the trials featured very emotional testimony from former classmates and friends who were at the scene that night. But you can imagine, this is 19 years ago. So tough to remember. You remember parts of it, but what exactly was said and who said what, that has been really a big part of this trial. I wanted to check in today on the day that we are likely to see the jury charged and given the opportunity to basically come up with what their verdict will be. Check in with our senior reporter, Lisa Schick, who joins us by phone from the courthouse. Lisa, thanks for taking the call.
Absolutely.
So this has been a very lengthy trial, a couple of weeks long. Can you maybe just give us a little bit of a recap on this trial?
Well, I'll give you, I guess, what it is that we can maybe safely assume. Obviously, there have been nearly three dozen witnesses that have come into this trial, all of them kind of telling the same story, kind of saying something different from each other. So I'll try to kind of distill it down. What we can get from almost everybody is that that weekend there was a big party at Kanukamaw Campground, kind of near Regina Beach, where Miller High School, they had these grad parties every year, and they rented out the campground. They had everybody there. So that's what was happening this weekend. There was this fairly large three or four car fulls of teenagers who weren't actually invited out there, but they heard about it. They went out there that Sunday night, and the accused was part of this group. And they went to the campground. You know, they were either let in or they rushed the gate, depending on who you're talking about. And they, you know, when they got there, there were some people who were saying things got tense really quickly. Misha was there. Misha Pavlik, obviously the victim. He was there. He went to Miller. There were some tensions between him and another man who was in this group, Andrew Perkins, because of a girl. Misha's ex was Andrew Perkins' new girlfriend. So, you know, they were going to fight about that. There was going to be a one-on-one fight, some people said. Other people said, you know, Misha really wanted to fight Mr. Perkins. And they kind of got into it. There's a situation where Misha confronted Perkins. Some of their friends were around. What we heard was that he bottled him, hit him in the head with a bottle. That started off a fight. Now, here's where some of the witnesses kind of diverge. Some of them said, you know, it was one big, long fight. Everybody was fighting. It continued into kind of a second part where, you know, Misha was attacked again. He was on the ground. He was being kicked. At some point in there, he ended up being stabbed and fatally stabbed. In some other tellings, you know, there was a break between first part of the fight, second part of the fight. Mm-hmm. Now, there are stories about what happened after that. You know, some people who were there who tried to help Misha. There were other people who were part of this uninvited group who, you know, while this happened, everybody leaves. They went to the uninvited group. They went to the parking lots, you know, that public parking lot that's at Regina Beach, to kind of meet up together, figure out what happened. And then they all left from there. to go back to Regina. Now, the people who were in the car with the accused, what they say is they started hearing when they were at Regina Beach that somebody had died. And they said that the accused started acting, you know, kind of upset, kind of odd. When they were on the way back to Regina, some of them said he was driving, some of them said he wasn't, but he required that the car stop on the side of the highway, went running off into the night. Nobody really knows what he did, but they had to kind of go get him to get back in the car and then drive back to Regina. So that's the tale that the witnesses have told through this trial.
Lisa Schick is senior reporter covering the Misha Pavlik murder trial. So this happened 19 years ago. It was 2006. Can you remind us how this unfolded, that it took this long? Obviously, for many years, this was a case that had not been solved and was essentially deemed a cold case.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't until 2023 that charges were actually laid. And obviously, you know, the accused in this case, he was 17 at the time, so we can't name him publicly. But they laid charges in 2023. It was 2021 when there was a bit of movement, it seemed like. You know, the RCMP, they put out their podcast of the case. They did a search at Regina Beach in the water, kind of near the pier there. And through the case, we've heard that some people did come forward when that podcast came out. One of the witnesses, Scott Nelson, who had been actually, he pled guilty and served some time for stabbing another person at that party, Derek Enns. We heard during the trial that in 2021, in an interview with RCMP, he told them that that night the accused had come to him and was, you know, excited, amped up, and said, "I got him, I got him." The implication being that he was bragging about having stabbed Misha. Now, it's not clear whether that was the impetus for this. I mean, that did happen in 2021, and the charges weren't laid until 2023.
You know, memory has been, I've been reading your reports every day from this trial. Memory has been a big issue because, of course, this happened nearly two decades ago. How big of a factor do you think that will be ultimately in the finding from the jury?
You know, that's one of the things that has been so confusing about this. I mean, just in my retelling there of what we've heard in the trial, a lot of that is maybe depending on who you're listening to, who's telling the story, that changes how the night went. You know, some people explaining that, you know, we went here first instead of going here, or these activities happen on this part of the fire instead of this other part of the fire. And some people saying, you know, I just can't remember. I can't remember what we were saying in this conversation. I can't remember who was in the car. So as you might expect, for 19 and a half years later, a lot of details are missing for people. People are telling different stories about what happened. So I think that's going to be a big factor when the jury does go into deliberations, trying to figure out who to believe, who to take that story of what happened that night from.
Lisa Schick is my guest, reporter from our newsroom. Is there a moment from this case, you've been there for the entire couple of weeks, that stands out for you?
You know, it's a lot of little moments. There are things that, having lived in Regina my whole life, you know, I was in high school when this happened, things that seem important or even shocking. You know, when you hear one witness say the accused admitted, you know, bragged to me that he did it, or when you hear somebody say, you know, I saw them out on the pier and it looked like they were throwing things, mm-hmm. you know, things that seem important, although then you have, you know, the defense lawyer who comes up and says, are you really remembering that properly? Is that really what you remember now? Because, you know, 15 years ago, you told police something else, and things like that. So mm-hmm. it's a lot of parsing through things.
Right. Speaking of defense, they chose not to call any evidence or witnesses, which, of course, they aren't required to do. But it's up to the Crown to prove the case. Do you think there's strategy there from defense, feeling as if there's a better likelihood that the case won't be proven, and that's why they decided not to bring forward any witnesses?
Yeah, you know, from his closing argument, it seemed like what he's doing is just poking holes in the Crown's case. You know, he's saying they've brought these witnesses who say this, but he demonstrated through the trial that a lot of them, like I said before, don't remember things now the way they did 15 years ago. And you might expect the closer to the event, the better your memory would be for that. And he's, you know, presenting other suspects as possible. In his closing argument, he said, you know, Scott Nelson is his favorite suspect for this, kind of giving the jury reasons why, hey, maybe Scott Nelson did it. Maybe this other person did it. He kept saying, you know, there are a lot of things that could have happened here. And he thinks that there's more than enough space in this case for there to be reasonable doubt.
Can I just confirm a couple of things? The accused has not admitted to killing Misha Pavlik. Am I correct?
Not in court or anything. All we've heard is, you know, other people saying they heard this or they heard that night.
And that's my follow-up is no one actually has testified that they saw the accused stab Misha. It's things that they heard. It's conversations that they've had.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things in this case. And the Crown admitted that right from the get-go. He said in his opening statement, you're not going to hear any witnesses here say that they saw the accused stab Misha. You're not going to hear that. But he felt that all of the evidence put together would convince them that he did, in fact, do it.
Mm-hmm. Where are things at now?
Well, right now, the judge is kind of giving her instructions to the jury. And that involves, you know, going through all the legal issues, all the evidence issues, and those kind of things to give the jury the tools that they need to be able to do these deliberations. Obviously, you know, they're just 12 people from the community, so they wouldn't necessarily understand all these things. And then after that, probably still a few hours from now, we're expecting they'll go into deliberation.
Okay, and of course, we don't know how long that could take. Has there been a lot of family there of Misha Pavlik, family and friends, supporters?
Yeah, his family has been there basically the whole time here. You know, it has to have been difficult on some of these days, particularly when the pathologist was giving his evidence, because there were photos of Misha's injuries, which included photos of his body. And there were certainly people who left the courtroom who didn't want to see that.
Yeah, tough for sure. Lisa Schick, thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for the update. I know you're staying there as we wait for a verdict on this. So we will check in with you again once that occurs.
All right. Thank you.
Our senior reporter from the CJME newsroom, Lisa Schick, is covering the Misha Pavlik trial, which jury getting their instructions from the judge as we speak, and will likely be going into deliberations this afternoon. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.